Peggy Moore here with the Discover Your Personal Power podcast. I am super excited today to have guest Sandy Rodriguez on the show today. Sandy is a bilingual communications expert who writes on topics ranging from finances to entertainment for different media outlets in both the United States and in Mexico. She appears as a host in videos for lifestyle website InCinco and multimedia company Heart of Hollywood Motion Pictures. Sandy is a formal editorial coordinator for the Mexican newspaper Reforma, one of the most influential publications in Latin America, and has translated thousands of books from English to Spanish for major publishing houses. These include medical, self-help, and business books, novels, and titles focused on spirituality and personal growth. Sandy is the author of her book, Choose to Prevail, and I am so excited to talk to her about this today. Let's welcome Sandy.
Thank you so much, Peggy. It's wonderful to be here with you. That was a lovely introduction. I'm so happy.
Thank you. Is there anything else you want to tell us? Introduce yourself a little bit and tell us a little bit about you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, I think that much like yourself, I've lived in different places and I've also worked in different fields. That might also be the case for you. I'm not sure about that. But the thing is that when you move around and when you work in different fields and with different groups of people, it turns out that all of a sudden you realize that you have so many different circles of friends. You might have friends of different ages, different genders, different nationalities, different cultures. It's just like a lot of different styles of friends that you might have. So that was the case for me, Peggy. All of a sudden, a couple of years ago, I realized, yeah, I know a lot of people. And here's the thing. All of a sudden, all of my friends from all different circles started coming to me and saying, you know, Sandy, we've been feeling a little stressed or a little depressed or things are not going great. And bear in mind, this was before COVID. So then when the COVID situation struck, well, all of that was even worse, right? It was just exacerbated by the COVID situation. But I thought, okay, now that is a little strange because, I mean, my friends, I mean, sure, they have very different personalities, different ages and whatnot, but they're all, at least in my eyes, very accomplished. They're attractive people, interesting people. I mean, they really should not be feeling the way they're feeling. That makes like zero sense. So I thought, well, it's interesting that they should come to me for advice. I mean, why would they come to me? But then I thought, well, maybe I've been successful in overcoming challenges of different sorts. And my friends know that. I've been through a number of things, Peggy, like tragedy and also minor obstacles, but I've been through a lot of things. And I believe that I'm a person that has been able to overcome that. And I think my friends know that as well. So they did come to me. Like it was kind of like a coincidence. A lot of people were coming to me. So I thought, well, maybe I can do something that will be helpful for them. So I put together a book that I felt would be basically, let's say, starting out from my own personal experiences, but not focused on me because that's not really the point. That my experiences would be a starting point for a more universal narrative. And I moved on to discussing ways that people can deal with things, be they something major, for instance, the loss of a loved one, or minor, for example, the annoyance of being stuck in traffic. So I created something that I felt would be useful for friends. And well, what do you know? People ended up resonating with the book. And now it's not just people I know and friends, but it's around the globe that are liking it and finding it useful. And I'm just very happy that it worked out.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sandy. I'm very excited. I was able to get your book myself and I started on it. And there are some great little nuggets in there. So I'm excited to talk about this with you today. I also have lived in many different places and have friends all over the world. And it is such a blessing to my life. It enriches my life so much. So I can totally understand and relate to what you're telling us. Well, I'm very excited to talk about the book, but one of the first things I want to talk about is this cover art. So I found it to be very interesting. I'd love to hear about how you decided on this picture for the cover of your book.
Thank you so much. Well, actually, here's the thing. I'm a burgeoning artist, like an artist at the very start of my career. And I painted a painting and I got a wonderful graphic designer to design the cover. The designer's name is Regina Landa. I knew her back in Mexico City. She's amazing, very experienced in all kinds of design, not only book design, but also newspaper and magazine design. She's fabulous. So she took that painting of mine and she kind of flipped it around. She played a little bit with the angle, and eventually she chose to use a part of the painting for the cover. And it ended up being very interesting looking because the colors in the cover, the colors in my painting now in the cover, are just very intense. They're very cool colors. It's burgundy and it's red and it's black and it's all these exciting colors. And that in turn, at least to me, symbolizes a lot of very interesting things like fire, like life force, blood, red wine, strength, confidence, all of these very intense, very evocative words. And here's the thing, you know, Peggy, in the original painting, this might not be all that noticeable, but the way the cover was designed allows for a little splotch or blotch, like a little white thingy over the word choose. Now, if you were to look at this with a little imagination, maybe like if you were at the psychologist taking one of those inkblot tests, you would think, okay, hey, this looks like a little crown, like the crown that a queen or a king would wear, right? So it's interesting because it's a little battered. It might be a little bloody. I mean, again, with a little imagination, but it does seem to imply that we will be triumphant. We will wear a crown. We will be the absolute victors, even though we have to undergo certain struggles that might leave our crown not like super polished, super perfect, but we're still going to get to wear the crown at some point sooner or later because we will prevail.
Absolutely. I totally noticed that that was a little crown and that it is a little tarnished. What a perfect symbol for us that when we choose to prevail, we will have a crown, but it may be a little tarnished because that's part of life. So I think that's a perfect symbol to use for your book. Tell us a little bit about your book and how your book is different from other motivational books or books that are in the self-help industry.
I would never want to throw shade or anything like that on any other self-help book. And certainly if a certain book speaks to a certain reader, well, that's fantastic. That my book is a little bit outside of the norm for that category because the experience of reading the book is not exactly like reading a book, not even like reading a book, let alone a self-help book. The experience is more like grabbing a cup of coffee or grabbing a beer or enjoying a nice glass of wine, or why not a shot of tequila with a trusted friend. So it's basically a book that is meant for people that normally do not gravitate toward self-help, and maybe even for people that are not even super fond of reading. It's just a book that's convenient and comfortable to read over the course of an afternoon, and you might go back to it eventually if there's something that spoke to you specifically or that you resonated with. But the experience itself is not like the author is this all-knowing entity or this great specialist or anything of that nature, but rather like the author is your friend, your buddy, your pal, your partner in crime that's going to sit down with you and say, okay, so what's going on? Tell me what's going on in your life. What is a problem? Let me tell you what I have done when I've been in a similar situation. And I'm going to tell you the things that I tried that worked. I'm going to tell you about the things that I tried that did not work. And at the end of our conversation or at the end of the book, whichever the case may be, you will feel stronger. You will feel more relaxed. You will feel like you have a greater sense of agency, a greater sense of strength, and definitely a lot more confidence and faith in the future. So it's not so much a book that is giving you advice. It's not overly prescriptive. It's definitely not condescending. It's more like I'm sitting down with you as a friend and we're discussing what's going on, and together we're putting our heads together and deciding what the best course of action is going to be.
I love that you describe your book like a conversation. I can just picture myself sitting in my cozy chair by the window, feeling the sun on my shoulders as I grab a cool drink and relax into your story. I think stories are powerful, and I love reading biographies and autobiographies and other people's stories. I love reading how others overcame challenges and difficulties. I believe that there is power in sharing your story. We all have a story to tell, and as we share our stories, we help others along the way. And that sounds exactly what you're doing with your book, and I think that is beautiful. I actually did get the chance to read your story about your eye surgery, and I could relate just a little bit. So I have worn glasses since I was in kindergarten, and every 6 months I would get a new pair of glasses because my eyes just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so by the time I was 13, I could basically see 4 inches in front of my face. That's basically it. I hated to go to pool parties, or if I was in a different place at night when I didn't have my glasses and I had to get up and go to the bathroom. It was very stressful for me because I couldn't see. I actually would literally run into walls, or if I was like at a pool party or something and someone would talk to me, I wouldn't be able to see their face. And they didn't really know that. And so it was just awkward. It was really, it's hard not being able to see. So when I was 13, we decided that we would put me in hard contacts to see if that helped. And so I wore hard contacts since I was 13 up until just last year. And last year, my vision started getting worse and worse. And I went to the optometrist, and he was basically like, you can't see. I was like negative 14 in one eye and negative 16 in the other. And I had significant cataracts actually on my right eye, and then enough even on my left eye that I needed surgery. So I had to see an ophthalmologist, and I had surgery last summer, and it wasn't near as difficult or as traumatic as your surgery was, but still, by reading your story, it helped me think of my story, so it kind of gave us a little bit of a connection, and I thought that was really cool. It is such an amazing thing to be able to see. I mean, what a blessing it is in our life.
In my case, as you mentioned, it was quite traumatic. It was something horrible, definitely horrible. But again, even though you will never say, ooh, that was a fabulous thing that happened, of course it wasn't. It was quite terrible. But even out of something that did not go well, as was the case with my surgery, something relatively good can come out of it. I'm not like the super positive Pollyanna type that would say, oh yes, everything terrible is so wonderful and we should be grateful. Well, maybe not always, but at least after we experience something really difficult, such as a surgery that was very difficult and not exactly successful, we do get to see that other annoyances in our day-to-day problems that we may have are quite minor in a sense. It's interesting because you never want to be dismissive of other people's problems, and you yourself don't want to be dismissive of your own feelings. But when you make a conscious choice to compare and contrast things in your own personal life that have been horrifying, minor annoyances seem less annoying, definitely. So that will be one of the things that readers will get out of this. I also mentioned techniques on time management, which is also useful. I guess everybody would agree on that. And I have a time management technique myself that allows people to potentially save money. So that's another part of the appeal. And there are just a lot of interesting things that I try to pack into the book. So that's the thing. I originally created it with a specific demographic in mind. I mean, I was mentioning that I have a lot of friends from different walks of lives, but mostly I was thinking that this would be a book that could be useful to my Generation X friends. But as it ended up happening, my younger friends, my millennial friends, even my Zoomer friends, my younger boomer friends, they all said, no, we loved it, we're enjoying it. So it's nice that I was able to reach several demographics, even if it was not the original intention.
I actually saw some of your strategies that were talking about time management in your book, and I think everyone can use tips on time management. We all have such busy lives. How are you promoting your book now that COVID is here, and I assume you're not able to have big book signing parties? So what are your plans, and how are you promoting your book?
But let me tell you, definitely I had to do something very different from what I would have done otherwise. In fact, we're recording this at a specific point in time. So at the time of this recording, right now that we're doing the podcast, we're literally a few days away from the official virtual launch. Now, because I wasn't able to actually do a book tour or real book signings with people there, I had to do things in a different way. What I'm doing right now is that although the book is available on all platforms, all major platforms, I also made it available through a website called heartofhollywoodmagazine.com in a different version, in a version that is a signed copy, a signed paperback copy, personalized. So that way, even though I could not go places and actually sign a book for people, people can log on to that website and get their own signed copy. So that's one of the things that I did. And the other thing that I did for this official launch that's a few days away at this point in time is that I figured, okay, if it had been a real live event, well, a certain amount of money would have had to be allocated for this, a certain amount of time, a certain amount of effort. So if it's virtual, I still have those resources. That's what they were for anyway. So I'm going to do a virtual launch that's kind of maybe more glamorous, should we say, than a regular virtual event. And in this case, we're really going to go all out. This is going to be a virtual launch that will be live streamed from a studio in Burbank. That's an area in California where many of the larger studios are. We're going to have a number of guests of different types. A couple of them will be live in the studio. Not all of them, of course, because of safety concerns, health-wise. Others will join us from Zoom from different countries. We had original music composed for the event, just intro music. I'm a rock chick. I like rock music. I thought the cover was very rock and roll. So I got a wonderful friend of mine that's actually a Latin Grammy contender and her rock star boyfriend to get some music going for the launch. We're also, another super cool thing. I have a very close friend who's a sommelier, and he's also a wine and spirits consultant, and he devised three different drinks in the color of the cover for people to drink during the launch. So people that register for the launch will be receiving the recipes so that they can prepare those at home. That's also fun, right? And of course, we'll have giveaways, and maybe it's a little bit over the top for a virtual event, but I figured, we were going to do a live event anyway. So why not put all our effort, all our resources into a virtual event? And that's what we're doing now.
I think that sounds wonderful. I'm excited. Do we have a date for this virtual event?
Yes. It will be November 22nd.
Okay.
So literally days away. It'll be at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's free, of course, and anybody is free to register. The only thing that you need to do is log on to heartofhollywoodmagazine.com/books, and there's a little thing for people to fill out, a little form. And once they have signed up, they will receive a number of things, including the recipes for the cocktails and the drinks, and they will be receiving the link to join the actual launch. And of course, we'll have a lot of fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I hope you're going to record that and make sure you put it out again and again for us people that live in a different place and this podcast, which probably won't be coming out till next month. But I'm so glad that you told us about that, so they know, all my listeners know where to resource that. So can you tell us one little good nugget from the book to get us excited about ordering this book and reading this book?
Yes. Well, I think that one of the things that people have found useful, and I definitely found useful in my personal life, is to become less self-conscious. And I offer advice as to how to do that. I think that one of the reasons people often feel awkward or shy about speaking in public or uncomfortable in social situations is that we tend to believe that people are focused on us, that they're searching for flaws, that they're like super interested in everything that we're doing, and very critical. And in all honesty, Peggy, I mean, people are not even remotely paying attention to us. Just to drive the point home, I think that, okay, for instance, Peggy, think of a friend that you have or a neighbor or somebody you see around the office or whatever, or the school. What was that person wearing the last three times you saw that person? Do you remember?
I think I can remember what they were wearing today because they came and talked to me. But other than that, no, not really.
Exactly. And even if you have like a vague recollection, maybe you wouldn't say, oh yeah, and I remember their shoes and I remember their socks. I don't think people are all that, attuned to minor details like those. In fact, even when you're out and about, like if you go to a concert or if you go to a sporting event, you might be like super interested in the sporting event or in the concert, but it's not like you're focused 100% on the singer or the band or the quarterback or the batter, like all every single second. No, I mean, your mind tends to wander, or you might check your phone, you might speak with your companion, you might go off to get a snack.
Exactly. I feel that those experiences are about us. When we go to a concert or to a ball game, we watch what the players do, but we remember how we feel when we're there. We remember maybe who we're with, the company that we're with, or the snacks that we ate, or the feelings that we had when our favorite player made that jump shot. So it's our experiences that are important and that stick with us. And I like how you pointed out, not everyone else is paying attention to what you're doing. And I know, especially in teenagers, I hear that a lot. You know, they make one little mistake or they look at someone wrong and the world is over because now everyone doesn't like them. And helping them realize that everyone is not looking at you, I promise. You worry about you and you let them worry about them. And it is a very freeing kind of experience.
Is very, very freeing. So freeing, in fact, that it removes a great degree of self-consciousness from our everyday interactions. When you are authentically yourself, and I do go a little bit into detail in the book about that, people will gravitate toward you. Now, do I mean that everybody will respond positively? Well, of course not. Many people might not. But the right people definitely will. And those are the people that you're trying to attract, the people that are naturally in sync with you, the people that are in line with the type of personality that you have. And it's very interesting because even if you're a little bit hesitant to show off your idiosyncrasies or your quirks, the right people, and you actually end up becoming influential in a way, and people end up taking their cues from you. So it's just a very fascinating dynamic.
Absolutely. I actually have grown children, so they are adults between the ages of 20-ish and 30-ish, and I'll be talking to them and they're still in that super self-conscious stage, and they'll be like, I went to this party or I went to this group with these other people and now I'm worried, you know, did I say the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? You know, are they talking about me or did they think that I'm weird or do they think this or did they? And I tell them all this worry and all this drama, they're thinking the same thing. So that person that you think that maybe you said something goofy and they think that you're goofy, they're worrying about what they said too. So just loving each other and giving each other the benefit of the doubt is a huge thing, but also realizing that there's no reason to be self-conscious. We all have our own needs and wants in our heads, and each individual has that. I think the most important thing is to know who you are and how you want to show up in the world, and then show up that way. Be authentic, be yourself, because when you're authentic, when you're a little bit vulnerable, when you show up as yourself, you allow others to do the same. And that's where the true connection comes. And that's where that self-confidence and that self-awareness show up. Well, Sandy, I have loved talking with you. I have one more question for you. What does it mean to you to discover your personal power?
Well, basically, it's the result of gaining confidence. And it does come sooner or later if you set your mind to it. I thought it was very interesting that you mentioned ages. You mentioned your children's ages, and you mentioned that certain things come with age. I think confidence does come with age. And that's useful for us that were ugly ducklings in more ways than one. I think that a lot of people, younger people, struggle with body image, self-image. They might feel physically unattractive, unappealing. And that also has very deep repercussions in their everyday life. Here's the thing. What they're not considering is that through a shift in self-concept, and through a gaining of self-confidence, which does come over time if you set your mind to it. And I go into detail in the book about that. Even your physical appearance becomes altered, or people's perception of you becomes different. For instance, again, when I was growing up, people would always describe me as the smart one, or the person that's informed, or the intellectual, or this or that, but never the pretty one, never the attractive one, never, ever, ever. So, of course, that does a number on a little girl's self-esteem, certainly on a young woman's self-esteem. But then, all of a sudden, I was able to carry out a certain mind shift in a way that, as a middle-aged woman, I've been tapped to model, even in runway situations, print, different situations. I pose for photographers constantly, even in swimwear. And this is at a point in my life that I should very well just, maybe according to some, be in a rocking chair, knitting a little sweater, whatever the case may be. But no, that's the situation. Age is really just a number. And just like young people should not stress out, because they will gain more confidence and a stronger sense of personal power as time goes by. People that are, you know, aging should also not be concerned about that issue. It's not like, oh, I'm an old person now. I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60. I can no longer do this. I can no longer do that. No, absolutely not. That is not the case at all. You can embrace and strengthen your personal power, your degree of confidence, your capacity to do a number of things at any age and at any time. If things are not going well in your life right now, you have the power, literally, to change them.
I love that, and I totally agree. And that is the best thing, I think, about discovering your personal power, is that recognition that you have the power to create the life that you want, to show up in a way that you want, and not have anyone else or anybody's ideas telling you how you should be. Thank you so much, Sandy, for joining us today. For all my listeners, thank you so much for listening. If you love this podcast, please share it with others and leave me a review on iTunes. I will leave Sandy's information in the show notes. Her book is called Choose to Prevail. You can find her book on Amazon as an ebook, so you can download it and read it however you would like. If you would like that copy that has her signature, so a signed copy, then go to Heart of Hollywood Magazine, all one word, heartofhollywoodmagazine.com/books. And her book is entitled Choose to Prevail. I hope you guys have a fabulous week, and until we meet again, my friends.